You're listening to Jai Long, and this is Make Your Break. Let's talk about relationships. I think there's so many different aspects about a relationship that really impacts our thinking, our mindset, our business, our partners, our money, our everything. And I don't think we talk about relationships enough. So I'd love to take this moment to really dive in a little bit deeper. And I've actually got 10 points that I want to bring to you about relationships. Now, some of this stuff, I think a lot of people don't talk about, and I want to dive in a little bit deeper. Now, some context here, I've been with my now wife for 18 years, and we've been married for 6 years, and we've worked together as well. So we've had lots of businesses together. We've had big ups, big downs. We've broken up before. We've been back together. So we've done everything. And I think from the outside, a lot of people always ask me, well, see, it's like, how do you work so well with your partner? And how does this all work? And also a lot of people always say, like, my partner doesn't support me, or how can I get my partner on my side? And how can I do this? And how can I do that? So there's so much mystery around relationships. And I know, like with relationships, if your relationships are not going well, then it's really hard for your business to go well. So I'd love to dive into more facets of our lives and our mindset to help us in the long term become better versions of ourselves. And of course, we can then be better creative business owners. So before we get into today's episode, I want to remind you that the Unrealistic Workshop in Los Angeles is coming up very soon. We've got online tickets as well. And I want you to think about MTV vibes from the 90s. We got Anna. So Anna is our full-time staff member. And she's based in New York City, actually, or in New York. And she'll be walking around interviewing all the speakers behind stage and people that are actually there and things like that. And I've got some exclusive content for the online viewers as well that I'm really excited about. We made a little documentary, and that will be previewed right there at the Unrealistic Workshop. So if you want to check it out, it's on the 23rd and 24th of August. It's definitely going to be a game changer. We're going to talk about marketing. We're going to talk about like getting deeper on your why, a lot of mindset stuff, a lot of goal setting stuff. And it's so cool that you can watch it from anywhere in the world. And tickets are $47, which is really amazing. Over 2 days worth of content and everything else. So head over to my Instagram account to get all the details. Instagram's at jialong.co, and you can send me the DM word workshop or unrealistic, and I'll send you all the details. So let's get into today's episode. So I want to go through 10 different things to help us with our relationships, and things that I've just noticed over my years and that I know that translate into hopefully creating a healthier relationship. So number one is a toxic relationship with one thing can lead to toxic relationships into others. So what am I talking about here? Well, one thing is, if you have a toxic relationship with money, for instance, so you have a real scarcity mindset, money's always going to run out, there's never enough of it, it never hangs around for long enough, then that could bleed through into a relationship, your relationship with your partner. Or another example is, if you've got a bad and toxic relationship with your business and you're working all the time, you're not making an impact, you're not making any money, you're confused, you're never eating, you're stressed, you're always sitting there, you know, at your desk, that may correlate over to a toxic relationship with your partner. You might be more stressed. You might be a little bit shorter with them. You might be more agitated. You're less tolerant. And you might not just be bringing the best version of yourself, which is bringing down everything. So I think it's really important as creative business owners, remember, like, as a business owner, you are showing up as a leader. So you need to always work on yourself. And so the way that I look at this is, you need to work on your relationship with all aspects of your life. I'm talking about relationships with your business, relationships with money itself. Like, I want you to dive deep on that. I'm talking about relationships with your parents. You know, so often we have these toxic relationships with our parents, and our parents trigger us and we can't be around them and everything else. You need to work on that shit, you know, because it correlates through to everything. You might have a friend or an ex or someone that you don't want to see. Like, we need to work through this. I think it's really important, especially, honestly, actually, I think relationships with business and money, it correlates through to our love life, to our relationships with our partner, or in so many different aspects. If you are really stingy all the time, you can't shout your partner dinner, you're working all the time, but you can't afford to take your partner, you know, overseas or on a trip or just a bunch of flowers or whatever it is, or just some time. Like, you know, not all of us have money. So sometimes it's just some time you spend with your partner just to show that love. I think it's so, so important. And if you are always stressed about money and thinking that there just isn't enough and, you know, maybe you don't deserve it, maybe you don't think you're worthy of it, maybe you just don't think it hangs around for long enough and there's not enough of it, and it just brings you a lot of stress in your life, it's probably going to go through to every aspect of your life, even your business, right? So if you have a bad relationship with money, you might be having a bad relationship with your business then. You're blaming your business. You're thinking you need to do more fire sales. You start going against your own ethics. You start doing things that you wouldn't usually do to try and get some more money. And things can spiral out of control in the wrong way pretty fast. So something to think about, get good and think about the mindset that we have and the relationship that we have with money. If you haven't read the book yet, You're a Badass at Making Money, it's a really good book and I do suggest it. And Jen Sincero, the author, she talks about her relationship with money and she treats it like a relationship just as she would with a partner. And so she talks to her money, she asks it like, what do you need? Why aren't you here? How can I keep you to stay around for longer? And she has this really cool relationship with money and I'm sure that like correlates through to all other aspects of her life. So number two, this one here, I actually learned from Brené Brown and she says it's never a 50-50. And I found this really fascinating because I do this, but I think a lot of people don't. And when you think that a relationship is supposed to be 50-50, then you will be dollar and diming what they're doing and you will be basically tracking, like, I cooked dinner for you last night, then you need to cook dinner for me tonight. I showed up for you for this and now you need to show up for me for this. I did the cleaning, now you need to do the cleaning. And honestly, like, of course I've experienced this before and like, it's such a toxic place to be with someone that you love. Like, you've got someone that you love and you're putting out a sheet and it's like tit for tat and it can only go bad. So Brené Brown says it's never 50-50. And she talks about how having an open dialect with your partner, having an open conversation, and after work, she'll come home and she'll say, hey, I've got 40. Do you have the 60? And her partner will say, well, I've got the 60. So don't worry. I can cook dinner tonight. I can look after you. It's all good. Or she might say, I've got 60. You know, I've got 70. Like, how are you feeling? And then her partner might say, well, I've got 50 as well. It's like, good, let's hang out. Let's watch a movie. Let's do some stuff. Let's cook some food together. Or you might both come in and say, I've got 20. And your partner says, I've got 20. It's like, good. Okay, well, let's make a plan. Maybe we should order in, get some food. You know, maybe I'll run the bath. Maybe we can do something here to support each other. Let's make a plan to make sure that we both feel supported and we both are looked after this afternoon. And I think it's just such a beautiful way of thinking about it, because not all the time do you have the energy to show up for someone and not all the time can you put in 50%. Like, I just don't think that is ever possible. The other thing to think about is like the energy that you have when you're at work. I always think about like, if I leave work where I'm fully, fully exhausted, then something else is not going to go right in my life. And that's going to be my actual relationship. If I come home and every afternoon I'm like, Lilu, I'm sorry, I'm tired, I can't cook, I can't do this, I can't do that, I'm just going to bed, then it's not going to be a very good relationship. So something that I think about during the day is like, how can I preserve my energy? What can I do? What can I outsource in my business? How can I work less in my business? So then that way I've still got energy this afternoon when I'm showing up with my partner, with my friends, with my family, and I can give them the energy that they deserve. They're in my life. They love me. Like, I deserve to give them some energy. So again, it's never 50-50. And if that's the operating system that you're working from, it's going to be a really hard life for you. It's really hard to expect someone to always be 50% and showing up like that. You sometimes need to step up and that's okay. Number three, are you doing the things that you want done? And what does that mean? This one's a huge one. I do see people all the time. They will say stuff like, my partner doesn't support me. My partner doesn't give me any money for this. My partner doesn't come home after work and cook dinner. My partner never cleans. My partner never puts anything in the laundry. My partner this, my partner that. Now, I want you to ask yourself, do you do those things for your partner, or do you just do those things regardless of what you want in return? Because I think it's so toxic to have a relationship where you're doing something because you want something in return. I think you need to do something because you love the person. And if that's not why you're doing it, then there's a deeper issue here. I think if I ever think my partner didn't support me, if Leela didn't support me, I think about the times like, did I support her? Did I really actually support her though? Like without me wanting something back? How have I showed up for her? When did I show up for her? If I never have, and if I never do, and if I don't support her wholeheartedly, I can't expect her to do the same for me, right? Like if I want to thrive, she needs to thrive. So for me to thrive, I need to help her be the best version of herself. I need to help her thrive in her business, in her life, with her relationships, with her money, with whatever it is that she needs, with her mental health, with her mindset. Because if she's thriving, then I'm thriving. So I think that's really important. So often I see couples getting disconnected because they blame something on their partner. My partner doesn't give me enough money. My partner doesn't support me in my dreams. My partner, you know, holds me back because of whatever. My partner thinks I shouldn't be doing this. My partner. But then when you talk to that person, they do the same thing to their partner and they don't even realize it sometimes. So it's really important to remember, you know, I think so often we don't want to work for free and we don't want to work, you know, we always think people are taking advantage of us. If you think your partner's taking advantage of you, you're probably in the wrong relationship. You know, you need to find someone that values you and values the things that you bring to the table, and they will meet you where you're at and they'll try and make you become the best version of yourself. And they'll try and give you energy instead of taking away energy. They'll try and help you with your mental health and with your mindset and with your relationships and with your money and with your business, right? Otherwise, maybe the relationship, we need to have some open discussions and see where the disconnect is. Now, number four, just because you're in a relationship, it doesn't mean your partner works for you. I want to say this one more time. Just because you're in a fucking relationship doesn't mean your partner works for you. And so often I see this happening. It's fucking wrong. I'm telling you, if you have a business, by default, it doesn't mean your partner has to work for you and work for free. If you are at the house, and maybe you don't have a job right now, it doesn't mean that you have to clean the house and you have to fold your partner's washing and you have to do all the things. It doesn't mean that you just by default have to be working for your partner all the time. I see this a lot with creative entrepreneurs. Creative entrepreneurs, they rope their partner in and their partner has to do everything, right? Like if they're an influencer, their partner's taking all the photos. Like even with my relationship with Leela, like she's a designer. You know, I catch myself sometimes. I'm like, babe, can you just design one more thing for me? Design this, design that, design this. And it never ends. And it's wrong. I'm abusing the relationship and I'm pulling levers that shouldn't be pulled, right? She has her own business. I have my own business and we should be working separately. Personally, I think it's really hard to work in the same business together. And if you do, you need boundaries and you need roles in the business. And I haven't seen it work any other way. But personally, Leela and I, we don't have businesses together. We have our business separate. She has her business, Studio Leela. I have my business, Jailong Co. Sometimes we sell similar things. Sometimes we promote each other, but we do keep it completely separate. We have separate businesses, separate business accounts, separate bank accounts, separate marketing, separate systems, separate subscriptions, separate everything. So just because you're in a relationship, it doesn't mean that they're working for you. And it doesn't mean you need to work for them. I think it's really important to realize that you can have your own life. You can have your own business. You can do your own things. Now, number five, separate things. This one goes on the last one, but separating things is really important. Leela and I, we've never actually shared money before. Believe it or not, and people are always shocked by that. We don't share bank accounts. She doesn't know what I spend my money on. I actually don't know what she spends her money on. I'll give her as much money as she wants. If she asks me for money, I'll give her money. When she's needed money, I've supported her in different ways, for sure. She does the same for me. Like she buys me presents and she supported me and she bought me a car, you know, for the wedding. Like I couldn't believe that. At that time, like she wasn't making too much money and I was a wedding photographer, so I was making a lot more. So I paid for the wedding. And as a thank you gift, she like bought a car. Like how amazing is that? Old 1967 Valiant. But I want you to think about it. Having separate things means I can now, having a separate bank account means I can now take my partner, I can take Leela on a date and it's a real date. I'm paying and it feels amazing. I can actually buy her a present and it feels amazing. It also means I can thrive with my investment choices. It feels amazing. I'm empowered to make decisions. It feels amazing. She's empowered to make decisions. It feels amazing. Sometimes I actually found, like, to be vulnerable here, I actually fell into the trap of, I remember a long time ago, she wasn't making any income. And I found it really hard because I was a creative entrepreneur. And one day I wanted to buy a house and I realized I was blaming her for the reason that we couldn't buy a house. I'm like, these days, babe, we need double income. We need this, we need that. And that wasn't her goal. She never wanted to buy a house. And so all of a sudden I was trying to make her work on my goal. I didn't even ask her what her goal was. And when I realized that it was my fault and I shouldn't be expecting her to be working on my goal, everything changed for me because I decided, well, I need to increase my earning capacity. I am right. You need two incomes to be able to buy a house these days. So how can I become the person that can generate two incomes, three incomes, four incomes? Like, why am I putting the blame on something else instead of putting the blame on myself? It's my own fault that I can't earn two incomes. It's my own fault. It's my knowledge gap that I'm not a high earner and that I can't create these opportunities, that I can't hit these goals. Like, it's my fault. It's never her fault. And so now she has her own goals and she wants to buy an investment property and she's building her own business and she invests in things. I do the same. I buy my own investment properties. You know, I do my things. And it's incredible because we get to brainstorm on these things. We get to talk about these things. We get to inspire each other. We get to push each other and we don't hold each other back. If she wants to make a terrible business move, a terrible investment decision, I don't tell her no. I don't tell her she shouldn't. I don't tell her what to do with her money, actually. And she doesn't do that with me either. She trusts me enough to make the right decisions now because of the proof that I've put in over the years of being able to invest and make money and build businesses and do the things that I do. So she trusts me wholeheartedly and I trust her as well. And I think that's worth a lot more than trying to share the goal all the time. So separate things really takes away a lot of tension and stress as well. Like, I think separating things and having clear roles, like sometimes, for an example, like separating things is like, if I'm cooking, like I like to cook. Often I like to cook by myself and then Lilu will like to clean. So she'll like to clean the kitchen after I cook. When Lilu cooks, she likes me to cook with her. So she will rather me cook with her and me clean with her as well. So we have different roles at different times that suit us. I'm not going to tell her that I'm not going to cook with her because that's not what I want to do in the way that I want to do it. When it's my cooking night, I'm like, well, I'm going to cook and I would like to make you something. And then I'm usually pretty tired and then she'll go, I'll clean up. And if she doesn't clean up, it's not her job anyway. I will clean up. And sometimes I'll just do it the next day. And she knows that and that's fine. Number six, relying on someone else for your confidence and your happiness. Now, I say this all the time. You know, my partner doesn't support me. My partner doesn't give me the confidence. My partner doesn't believe in me. Your partner should never believe in you as much as you believe in you. Like, you need to get obsessed with your own goals. Your goals were around before you met your partner. Let's be honest. Your ambitions were around before you met your partner. Like, you had a life path. Now, get back to it. Think about your big ambitions and the things that you want to do. Like, that's okay. You can do that. You need to find your own confidence. You need to get onto that own self-development path. Like, you need to be so strong in yourself because your partner will keep falling in love with you over and over and over because you're the best version of yourself. If you're trying to suck from them, their confidence, you know, you're trying to get happiness from them instead of giving them happiness, it's going to be really hard for people to be around you. So I always think, like, I need to generate so much happiness inside of me that I've got enough to share. I have so much confidence inside of me that I have enough to share. Like, I have so much willpower, so much ambition, so much joy, so many things, so much gratitude that I have enough to share. And that's okay. And my partner does the same. No, so Lilu would do exactly the same. She has so much happiness, she shares it. So much inspiration, she shares it. So much motivation, she shares it with me. And then together we can literally do anything. Like, it feels amazing to be able to do anything. Number seven, communication. Communication is key, you know, talking about things. Not just talking about things, listening. Listening without expecting to talk back. I see, especially nowadays with social media, like so often people have this toxic relationship with communication, listening, and relationships. Like everyone thinks just because we have a voice now on social media that we need to be heard. All the time we're striving to be heard. Listen to my opinion. My opinion's right. You are wrong. I am right. And we see this over and over. I get attacked sometimes on Instagram. People go, yeah, Jai, you haven't even said anything. Give me your opinion. What is your opinion? And we're trying to talk. Why? Because we're trying to validate ourselves. Sometimes be humble. Like have the humility to know that you don't always need to be heard. Like you don't need to have that. Instead, listen. Be the person that gives that support. In a communication, sometimes there's going to be days when your partner just wants to vent and your job is just to listen. It's not to solve the problems. It's not to come up with solutions. It's not to argue with them. It's not to bring more resistance. It's not to change the conversation. It's simply to listen. And I think that's okay. Sometimes you're going to need to be listened to. Sometimes you're going to have conversations. You're going to have things on your mind and you need to speak. And I think just setting expectations and say, hey, I've got something that I need to share right now. I'm not looking for any advice or anything. Honestly, I'm just frustrated and I want to share. Like if I'm annoyed or if I'm angry, like I'll tell Lilu, Lilu, this is not your fault, but I'm actually just really angry right now. I feel frustrated. I don't know why, but I need to stay in this space just for a little bit. Just let me be here. Because until I get through this, I can't mask it and pretend that I'm happy. I just want to sit in the fact that I just don't feel good today. And that's okay. And she respects that. So with communication, like it's really important that we listen and we ask questions, you know. So sometimes like if you don't understand something, then we can ask more questions and we can dive in deeper. Like, I think that's really important to take the time out of your day to ask your partner, like, how did you go today? Is there anything you want to report back? Is there anything on your mind? Is there anything that you're feeling? Is there anything you want to share? How do you feel? Like, ask some questions, dive in. You know, you should know these things all the time. Number nine, you can outsource things. You know, not everything needs to be you and them doing everything. And I think this is one of the things that no one fucking does. And you got to do. Who can you outsource stuff? Well, if you want to have some deep conversations and your partner's not there supporting you, you can outsource it to a therapist. And sometimes you need a therapist and that's okay. Sometimes you need a different perspective and you need to talk to somebody else. I say this sometimes to my friends, like my, you know, or my parents or my siblings or like whoever it is. And it's like, I know that you're venting out on me right now and that's all good, but I am suffering as well right now. And I think you need to talk to a therapist. I can't be that person for you. You need to outsource it to someone and that's okay. So you can outsource it to a therapist. Like if you expect your partner to be listening to you all the time, like maybe you need to go to a therapist and you need to talk and offload to them and get some of the tools that you need for communicating. I think that's really important. You can outsource to a business coach. Like sometimes you feel alone and you need help with a business strategy or you want some inspiration or some motivation. Like a business coach is there. They're literally there helping people. That's what they do. You can outsource a cleaner. Lilu and I, we've had a cleaner for years now because we found ourselves coming home from work and then feeling frustrated that someone left a towel on the ground or the dishes are not done or this is not done and that's not done. Now, for an easy, I think we pay $150 a fortnight for a cleaner to come in and like absolutely scrubs the house. It means that job is no longer on us and we both don't want to do that job. Like why not outsource it? You can outsource your laundry. You can outsource your ironing. You can outsource mowing of your lawn. You can outsource washing of the car. So if you are right now thinking, man, I can't get my partner to mow the lawn, then have that discussion with your partner and say, hey, sometimes I feel frustrated that you're not mowing the lawn. And what I would like to do with your permission is actually hire someone to come and mow the lawn. And that way you're happy and I'm happy. It's going to cost us a little bit of money. How does this sound? And who knows? They might say, yeah, to be honest, I really hate that job. And paying someone $20 to mow the lawn is going to save us. It's going to save our relationship. You know, if cleaning was the same thing, Lilu and I would be like, you know, you need to clean. I need to clean. I'm always cleaning. You need to clean. I need to vacuum. I need, you know, put on the dishwasher. And it's just annoying. It's like, I'm trying to run a business. I'm trying to look after, you know, everything. I'm balancing all these plates and then there's this extra tension. It's not her fault. She's cleaning enough and I'm cleaning enough. It's not my fault either. It's just that we need help. So hiring a cleaner is one of the most amazing things. Maybe you need to hire a babysitter. Maybe you need to hire a nanny. Maybe you need to hire a cook. Maybe you need to eat out more. So you're outsourcing a meal once or twice a week or three times a week, whatever it is. There's always something that you're doing right now that you can outsource to someone else. And if it's the difference between a happy life and an unhappy life, isn't that money worth it? Like, I think about it, that $150 a fortnight, I pay it one fortnight, Lila will pay it the next fortnight. So it's $150 each a month. I'm like, isn't that worth having peace of mind and a clean house and less arguments? Like, to me, I would pay so much more money than that. Like, it's absolutely worth it. Going to get my car cleaned. I remember I went and got my car cleaned and it cost like $100. It's like getting it, you know, looking all good. And I remember at the time, Lila was like, oh my God, that's so expensive. We should be doing this ourselves and saving $100. And I'm like, would you clean the car? She's like, nah, I'm not going to clean the car, but you should do it so we can save some money. I'm like, to be honest, there's other things I would be rather spending my time on than cleaning a car. If this takes me an hour, then I would rather the $100 spent and I'd rather spend it with you. I'd rather take you to a cafe. I'd rather go and, you know, I'd rather do something else. Also, I know how much I'm worth. I can literally do some mentoring. I can do a podcast. I can do many things that would produce a lot more than $100 an hour. So do I need to do that myself? Well, to me, it's a low value task. It's not something that I need to do. Last one. Number 10, set expectations. This comes down to like communications as well, but setting expectations with everything, right? So when Lilo and I, like over the years, like it wasn't just, I told her that we're going to separate our accounts. I mean, we never joined them together, but we had this conversation of like, hey, you've got your money. I've got my money. If you need money for anything, I can give you money. I can pay for things. I can support you. And we always talk about those things. I'll set expectations with goals. I'll say, you know, over the years, because we've really roughed it with so many different things, you know, we've been bankrupt, we've been homeless, we've done everything. And I'll say, look, I know we're in a bad situation right now, but this is not forever. We need to make some sacrifices and move in with somebody else so we can save some money here. From here, I'm going to save and I'm going to buy us a house. And it may take me 5 years, but I'm doing it. And I'll set expectations. So then she knows, okay, so this house, we're moving into this one, then we're moving into that one, and then we're going to buy a house and that's going to be awesome. And so I did do that over the last 10 years. And then I bought a really, you know, we built a really beautiful house and she was like, wow, you actually did it. I said, no, of course. I was working towards a thing. I set expectations, you know, I promised you and now I'm going to follow through on those things. We can set expectations with all things, like even for the weekend, set expectations. What are you doing this weekend? Well, I'm catching up with friends on Saturday morning. I'm going to go out with my girlfriends on Saturday night. We're going to have a blast. On Saturday, I'm probably going to feel a little bit fragile. I had a few too many drinks on Saturday night. So on Sunday, I'm feeling a little bit fragile. Maybe you could cook me breakfast. I don't know. Like, you're setting expectations, right? You're letting people know. Oh, okay, cool. I set expectations all the time. I'm like, Lilo, this week I'm running a workshop. It's going to be really fucking hard and I need to show up with lots of energy. And this week I just don't have any energy on cooking food. I don't have any energy on giving you extra energy this week. And I'm sorry. And after this, I'm going to take you on a date and I'm going to make it up for it. But this week from Monday to Friday, this is it. Or at times before on the weekend, I'll be running the summit or something like that. And I'll say, Lilo, this weekend, I can't have any of your friends coming over. I can't have loud noises going on. I'm going to bed early. I'm not going out. And I'll set up those expectations. She's like, good, Jai. I respect those. I might go to one of my friend's house. I'm like, good. You know, so I set expectations so she knows. When I'm reaching for goals or if I'm spending lots of money or if I'm investing in something, I'll set expectations. Like, babe, I'm investing in something right now. It's risky. This is how it's going to play out. And if it doesn't play out, I'm not betting, you know, the whole farm. There's other things that we can be doing. And I'll set expectations so it's a line of communication. So yes, she doesn't say no to what I can invest in and the things that I spend my money on. But yes, she does know what I invest in and what I spend my money on. So I'm never secretive of any of these things. If she needs to know anything, she can look at everything. She knows it all and that's okay. So it's the same for your partner. And if your partner's not setting expectations, then communication comes on. So we can talk to our partner and say, hey, let's set some expectations. Like, are you going to clean this week? And if you're not, can we hire a cleaner? And if we can't, then is that unfair that you won't put in time or money or effort to solve the problem? Because does it just have to be on me? And so we can talk about, you know, what do we need to do to make the dream work? And what's the compelling future? I honestly think happiness comes from having a big and compelling future and working goals towards that future. And so setting expectations with your partner, like they're going to feel so much more safe, so much happier if they've got a bright future in front of them and it's not just survive mode all the time. I'm sorry, babe, I don't have any money. Things are going to change one day. I'm sorry, I don't have any energy for you. Things are going to change one time. I'm sorry, I'm busy. Things are going to change one time. I'm sorry, I'm not going to clean. I'm sorry. So your partner can like withstand that if there's expectations right there. I'm sorry, I can't clean this week, but next week I can. I'm sorry, I can't clean this week, but I'm going to hire someone that's going to help me. I'm going to outsource some things. It's going to be different next year because of these reasons. I'm changing my habits. I'm changing these steps. I'm changing my strategies. Things are going to be different. This is what I'm working towards. I need to make a sacrifice today to get towards this tomorrow, right? I think this is really important. Now, that's it. This is just a quick episode. I wanted to go over 10 different things. Something myself and Lilo have been speaking about a lot lately. It's just like relationships and working with people. I see so many things that don't work. So many people relying on happiness from their partner instead of finding it themselves and then bringing that happiness to the relationship. So many people expecting and being entitled, thinking that someone should be cleaning for them, someone should be cooking for them, someone should be doing this, someone should be doing that. And really, like, everything's your fault. Everything's in your control. And you can't be playing the victim. You know, it's not your fault that your partner doesn't believe in your dreams and your beliefs and your goals as much as you do, because that's not their job. Your job is to bring the vision, believe in your goals and your dreams and make that shit work. Your job is to bring that communication, open that line of communication so you can talk to your partner. Listen, you know, listening to your partner. Your job is to not bring 50-50 and not always have that exact energy, but it is your job to communicate where you're at, how you feel, how can you best serve them right now? How can they best serve you right now? And if you just speak to each other like this and you give each other that respect, I think you're going to go a long way. And guess what? The old saying goes, happy wife, happy life. Of course, I hate that saying, but honestly, if you have a happy relationship and home life, happy relationship with your kids, happy relationship with your money, happy relationship with your time, happy relationship with all these things, then you're going to have a much happier relationship with your business. Because as entrepreneurs, it's pretty hard to have a work-life balance and it doesn't really exist. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to get obsessed over every aspect of our lives. You need to optimize and obsess your relationships. How can you be the better version of yourself to show up for your partner? How can you be the supporter that they need when they need it? How can you be that person? So if you've got any extra thoughts on relationships or if you resonated with any of this, send me a DM on Instagram at jialong.co, or to help me grow this channel, which, you know, I'm always trying to help and impact more people. If you want to help me spread this message, share this podcast episode on Instagram by screenshotting it, tagging me. I'll reshare it. I love to see it out there. Start that conversation and everything else. So thank you for listening and I will see you soon.
Hey, Maker Breakers. Don't you hate how you can't sort through podcasts by most listened to, most reviewed, and most loved? Right? As fellow podcast junkies, we feel you. While we can't magically change Apple or Spotify's platform, we have created a little something something. Sifting through all of Make Your Breaks episodes to date, yep, we are talking all 200 plus episodes, we've meticulously curated some banging playlists just for you. We're talking the all-time hottest hits from Make Your Break, starring the juicy inspiration, motivation, and creative biz insights you know and love. Sound good? Jump into the show notes and follow the link to generate your very own Make Your Break playlist.